Blog Talk Radio.
My song I sing.
Well, yes indeed, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Yes indeed, we're back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Enmiah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful, yes indeed, so very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity. Yes, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. To speak these very precious words, my brothers and sisters. I said these very precious words that the Most High has granted me. It says the Most High has granted me for the blessing of his people. So the Most High has told me, yes indeed he's told me, that I have some for him some very important things for him to do. And he told me because of what I must do, he said to me that I would indeed accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. I pray that you will be among those friends. The Most High has told me, my brothers and sisters, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, he told me I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could. Yes, everything they could since the dawn of human fall. To hide, to deny, pervert, the silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, I said if they could, to destroy. For the Most High, indeed, without question, my brothers and sisters, has a plan. He has a plan, my brothers and sisters, by which he shall indeed cause this whole world to discern and revere him as he is. For he is the great I am that I am. And without question, my brothers and sisters, he will be exalted only according to the truth of his will. No lie gives him honor, my brothers and sisters. No misconceit, no worldly predisposition, no partiality, nor polluted standard does he accept unto himself. He is not a man that he should lie, brothers and sisters. Therefore, by no means shall he by any means exalt a false testimony as his own. He should not put his name upon such. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? He shall not have his name polluted after the misconceit of any others. So there's a lot to consider when we take into consider such verses. And by the way, a blessed Rosh Chodesh, and this feast is ready to be dedication to you all. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, it is time that we speak concerning what is necessary with the temple, even our own personal temple, let alone brothers and sisters, that which the Most High has declared will be established, must be rededicated fully in all things unto him, unto the truth of his word. Truly, my brothers and sisters, let us consider. The earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. How many consider then, my brothers and sisters, that the world we live in, I said the world we live in, and everything with regard to everything in it, man must give consideration in everything that is in it, everything he does in it, everything he creates in it, everything he seeks to establish in it, everything he seeks to preserve in it. Man must give consideration. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? Man must give consideration to his creator. By no means did the Most High ever give anyone a right to lie against him. He never gave any man a right, my brothers and sisters, to create a multitude of his own ideals, to confuse men against knowing who he is. Scripture says the Holy Spirit teaches all things. No lie in it, bringing all things to remembrance. How is it, my brothers and sisters, today we see some thousands of denominations, nations, and religions, all claiming according to their allegiances, the tribute they offer to their various gods, various standards. Everyone according to, let's just say, the pats on the back they get from their various, so often treacherous leaders. Many believe they have a right, though the Most High declared that he is only as he is. Many believe they have a right to believe, say, and do whatever they will, as if the Most High is going to accept it. I began to speak earlier about the Most High having a plan by which he shall reveal himself. He shall reveal indeed all that is his pleasure, purity and completion, offering just one choice. He has a plan, our brothers and sisters, by which he said that he would bring all things to bear. No more confusion, no more contention and doubt. And without question, warfare continues in this world. Debate, deceit, lies, misrepresentations, pretenses, devious standards, havens for devils, my brothers and sisters, continue until absolution, the knowledge of what is absolute, is assured. But how many, my brothers and sisters, discerning that the Most High must reveal absolution that men be saved, are prepared when the truth is revealed to receive, believe, and not argue? I sit back and I think about it, my brothers and sisters, because all these things bear much consideration. The Apostle Shaul said, if any man consider himself wise in this world, let him consider himself a fool that he may become wise. Meaning that if any man believes that he is wise after a multitude of diverse standards in this world, let him realize a multitude of contentious standards cannot be true to the will of one. Therefore, since a pluralist, double-minded perspective is true to nothing and no one, man must discern. I said man must discern. He must seek the Most High to discern without question what is the divine absolute. Because Yah, being the great I Am that I am, the great one who is as he is, and not as men imagine, will not be content, my brothers and sisters, with what men offer to him as praise. Telling all things that is true to him. The Apostle Shaul again said, if any man consider himself wise in this world, or after the multitude of indecisive ideals that exist in this world, that men are compelled to believe in and uphold and exalt in this world. He said, let him consider himself a fool that he may become wise. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who have not really discerned the real meaning of the scripture. And I want to talk about some scripture over in Matthew, Matthias, in the fifth chapter in a few moments. There's something to consider there, yes, indeed. There's a reason why the apostle said, I know nothing of which I am guilty. He said, I may not be right in this. He said, for my judge is the Lord. Meaning that there could be very much a dimension of righteousness that he had not considered. But Yah will still be just and righteous in all he says and does. Most High will still be true to all that he has foreordained. The whole world be a liar, he said, that Yah yet be true. Therefore, he said, I know nothing which I'm guilty. But his righteousness does not decide. He said, therefore, let no man consider himself so wise before the time that Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things that men have not considered. How about to reveal all that is divine righteousness? How about revealing all that pleases Yah? And he said, and then should every man know how to please. I said, and then should every man know how to please Yah. Think about it. Scripture says Messiah comes and he will perform all that is divine pleasure. He revealed, my brothers and sisters, all that is divine intent. He shall bring to pass what the scriptures call the restitution, refreshing of all things. According to all the Most High spoke through the mouth of his holy prophet since world began. What it means, my brothers and sisters, is Messiah comes to reveal the righteousness that the world has not known. Purity and completion offers one choice. He said to those who would be called pastors, he said, go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything that he commanded. That's not been what has been done. Purity and completion offer one choice, but men have had seemingly established unto them after the edicts of men many. Even to preserve many corruptions, my brothers and sisters, they have never been fully wiped out from human conscience since the dawn of the fall. But Messiah, according to the scriptures, comes to deliver his people by exposing all folly. Scripture says he comes to prove foolish the wisdom of the wise. That his people be shepherded, and even, my brothers and sisters, that they be shepherded even unto the establishment of the Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, that should be established upon this earth, the citadel from whence the Most High shall reveal his law even unto all nations from Jerusalem, where Messiah himself shall sit upon the throne. What manner of being do men believe would sit upon the throne of Jerusalem? Our brothers and sisters, the scriptures in Isaiah 41 tells us that Messiah, 40 through 41 through 42, tell us that Messiah comes. I pray you will hear this. I pray you will understand. That Messiah comes, my brothers and sisters, to reveal what is the righteousness of Yah, even what is the gospel of the Holy King, when there has been none that preached it. Meaning that, true to what's written in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, Messiah comes when the whole world has fallen in some way, fallen away from the faith. Unto a standard that are falling after the praise standard that by no means fully pleases the Most High. It's written there in Isaiah 40, 41 through 42, 43, that he must expose all confusion, must expose all that is Babylon. Isaiah 59 says the same thing. It talks about men transgressing and lying against the Most High. Most High saw then that there was no intercessor, meaning that men have instead petitioned for the preservation of illusion rather than the truth. And the scripture says he was displeased. I pray you will understand. what this means. It means by no means is the Most High pleased with a multitude of diverse standards that men have claimed to be the result of the gift of His Spirit. His Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, preaches one testimony. True unto Yah, unto the blessedness of His name, His authority, and His authority alone. But men, my brothers and sisters, obviously have not spoken as true prophets. Scripture says the prophets, true prophets, Most High. The word is not of any private interpretation. Or how about any might not have any private interpretation, any man's private imagination, or any man's misadministration? For they spoke as the Holy Spirit gave them unction. Who, my brothers and sisters, is willing to understand? But this means that since no man can speak truly, Yah, the Holy Spirit reveals the truth, then many, apparently, my brothers and sisters, have spoken after another authority, and that they have spoken many diverse, pretentious, hypocritically compromised doctrine. And the fact of the matter is that there is no, I repeat, the fact of the matter is that there is no hypocritical compromise, no debate, no double-mindedness, no multitude of misopinions in the testimony of the Holy Spirit. I want you to consider something, my brothers and sisters. I would dare to tell you that the Holy Spirit calls out every fool that men might become wise. Some say that sounds harsh. Some might even say in this system that that's politically incorrect. Truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says Messiah himself comes to prove foolish the wisdom of the wise, that he might deliver his people. How is it, then, that men have thought otherwise? Men want all have their diverse opinions, and they want no one to, they say discriminate. Wow. They say no one even to discern between good and evil, between what is wise and what is not wise, between what is the truth of the Most High and what is a lie. That's considered politically incorrect. It's even considered in this society, oftentimes, even in this society called rude, to function without class, some say, that the illusion is called out, the lie is called out. Let me tell you something. Devils don't want the lies called out because they don't want men to be free from that devilish misinstruction. But the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, the Most High sends prophets anointed with that Spirit for the very purpose, my brothers and sisters, that men might reason, giving consideration to much more than ordinary perspective. Most High told me the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What men think they know, not giving all things consideration, he told me is not wisdom. Not wisdom at all. Meaning that it is foolishness. It is foolish, my brothers and sisters, not to consider all things the Most High has declared. In fact, it is sin. It is easily to be beguiled. It is unstable for a man to draw hasty conclusions, not considering all the Most High has declared. The earth belongs to him. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the world belongs to him. The earth belongs to him. The world and all they that dwell therein. How is it that we see every day all manner of pollutions of our waters, pollutions of our air and land? Traveling through the cities, we see smog. We see smokestacks puffing out smoke. We see people. Wow, I watched somebody today puffing out a cigarette, and hey, was he considerate of all that everybody has to breathe that air? My brothers and sisters, man is going to have to very soon give account for all he has done, not considering him. Yah counts as sin whatever does not fully and first consider him. Do I need to repeat that? Yah counts as sin whatever men create, whatever men seek to establish, whatever men say, think, or do. Most High counts as sin whenever man does not fully first, in so doing, consider him. Man makes an oath unto the Most High, whose thoughts, whose deeds has he given an oath to uphold? Is it the multitude of standards that men declare, or is it the purity that Yah himself has declared eternal? And whether or not man answers that question correctly decides whether he will have eternal life or not. The rebuke of sin, my brothers and sisters, in fact, is the rebuke of all inconsiderate, etc. It is the rebuke, my brothers and sisters, of all that men have declared and believed, not being willing to seek the Most High for the fullness of his instruction. All that is required to create a devil is for man to be left to his own imaginations. Man, my brothers and sisters, has hardly understood the preciousness of a holy word because he's dared not to consider. But if he doesn't get instruction from the Most High, by no means can he attain to the, this is to say, what the Most High calls his salvation. No man is delivered from illusions unto the pure, perfect truth, but the Most High himself be guide. And yet men, my brothers and sisters, have considered so often the guidance of the Most High as something far from being a precious thing. Men oftentimes don't want to hear it. They want their own ideals. The Most High has a plan to cause men very soon, my brothers and sisters, to clamor. A plan that will cause men to clamor with all they have in them to seek to hear and respect and diligently seek out the word of Yah. Because the day is going to come, my brothers and sisters, the Most High will only preserve those who show that they have a great and diligent love for the truth. And only those who can speak and declare that truth will be counted worthy to be called witnesses or testifiers of him and his light. Here, my brothers and sisters, there's much to be said concerning this. I want to still get to that scripture in Matthew 5, a lot of other scriptures as well that reinforces what I'm speaking about. Like I said, the Holy Spirit teaches all things. Messiah says, the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach the tidings to the meek, and he will say it again according to Isaiah 60. In the time that he reproves all wickedness to release the captives. Release men from the prison houses in which they are bound, the lying houses of illusion where the greater truths are never told. So the Spirit of Yah is upon him to preach good tidings to the meek. That means the gospel, my brothers and sisters, is a word to those who know they must be instructed. They must be taught, willing to reason together, considering all things. Those who would prefer to draw hasty conclusions based upon their passions, brothers and sisters, will not be counted manu or man, but will be counted beastly. Blessed are they who will understand this. Again, I told you, the Holy Spirit proves foolish the wisdom of the wise. Messiah comes to prove foolish then the wisdom of the wise, and so is written. In Isaiah, you need to read from the 28th, 29th, out to the 32nd chapter. And you read Isaiah 44 through 45, my brothers and sisters. Realize that throughout the Bible, it is related that when all confusion, debate, and doubt is no more, men will at last be free. When men realize that all their rulers have in some way lied to them, men will no longer trust their rulers, but begin to trust Yah. And the very fact that there are a multitude of different rulers in this world, political, social, and religious, is evident that man is turned away from faith in Yah as he is. Yah is not this multitude of debates, doubts, confusion, illusion, pretense, and hypocritical compromise. Messiah never gave his life amen, opposed. In fact, the scripture calls all such thinking unbelief. But he said in advance, he knew in advance, according to Isaiah 48, that men surely would lie. He already said, he already declared, my brothers and sisters, in the book of Jude, he told men that men would begin to pervert the grace of Yah. That men walk after whatever seems right in their own hearts. And men in their discernment, my brothers and sisters, they fall away from the faith. What else do you think unbelief is? Men are falling away from the truth that you once knew. But my brothers and sisters, that happened so long ago that many have never, ever known the truth to believe it. This is what is prophesied concerning these latter days. And only the most humble soul, respectful of the Holy Name, knowing that Yah is one and none of the pollutions of man, this is the truth, my brothers and sisters, only the few who are meek and humble enough to respect the Holy Name, only they will understand. Woe, my brothers and sisters, then who refuse to consider what should never have been ignored. Come, let us reason together, the Most High says to his people. Let us consider all the facts. Let's find out who is wise, my brothers and sisters, and who is foolish. Let's find out what is wise and what is foolish. Most High one time told me that every living soul that has walked this earth in some way has been a bit foolish. But there's a difference between a fool and a damn fool. It's many of my brothers and sisters being wise, being called a carpet, if you will, to see where they have erred, will change. But the damn fool, no matter how much you seek to reason with him, will still function off his passions, his pride, his selfish ambitions. So much so that all these things in his heart are more precious to him than even his own soul. Oh, I know it sounds, some people say that, yeah, some people lie to protect themselves. My brothers and sisters, seeking to protect and defend your own self-righteousness is not life, my brothers and sisters, but death. Scriptures tell us well, if we are willing to hear them. He who seeks to save his life by his own selfish ways and pride, seeks to save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his self-will for the sake of his gospel, the fullness of his word, his authority, his testimony, that's the one who will gain life eternal, because the Most High is not going to uphold any man's illusion. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters, in the book of Matthew, Matthias. There's a scripture there that some have greatly misinterpreted in terms of its meaning. There's a scripture that reads, and I'm going to it now, Matthew, the entire context of all that is there from the 5th chapter, 14th verse, to the 26th verse needs to all be given sharp, sharp attention. And I'm going to move quickly to a particular part of this verse, and then I'm going to go back and explain it in its context, because all that is written there in the midst of it must be given consideration. Because there are some who, after the doctrines of their rulers, the pastors, priests, rabbis, and elders, have preferred that you never understand the scripture, because they haven't understood it. And if they did understand it, they didn't want anyone to want to understand it because of the possessions of demons that are in them. Matthias 5:22, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother, Matthew 5:22, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But listen to this verse. But whoever shall say, thou fool, or call his brother a fool, the way they had it translated down here, shall be in danger of hell fire. Did you hear me? Listen to this latter verse, part of the verse. But whoever, this is the King James translation. But whoever shall say thou fool, or you are fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. That's the way it's translated. The NIV is pretty much clear, well, pretty much clear the way it's translated there. It says, but anyone who says you fool shall be in danger of the fire of hell. The NRSV, New Revised Standard Version, and if you say you fool, you'll be liable to the hell of fire. Is this really what it means, my brothers and sisters, the way men have oftentimes sought to interpret it? Think about it. Most High is going to bring to bear everything that he has spoken. He's not going to deny anything. 5:14 says to his people, you are the light of the world. That means should you try to blind anyone from seeing the greater truth? Every lying man believes is an obstacle against the greater dimension of truth. So you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill. A city that's be exalted. To give light to all the nations. Should not be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, put on a candlestick. In other words, they don't take this light and seek to, you know, abuse it, use it destructively, but can, let's just say, ultimately unto the good, for the good of whoever, constructively for the good of whoever would behold it. But they put the light on a candlestick, and it gives light, beneficent light, and to all that in the house. So let your light so shine good in a beautiful manner before men, they may see your good works. What is beneficent, good, that you may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And look what he said. Those who have this light, or those who will pursue the light, or be called the light givers, he says, let them not think that I am come to dishonor in any way the light, if will, the law, or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, or let's just say withhold the light, but to show it forth fully. This is not what the leaders have done, though. The leaders have sought to take this word of truth and twist it and turn it however they will to their own advantage. Otherwise, you wouldn't have all these multitude of different denominations and religions. Purity and completion offers one choice, but a multitude of partialities and pollutions offers many illusions. Damnable, my brothers and sisters, because the Most High is none of those misconceits. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, heaven and earth pass, not one jot, not one tittle, not even the smallest dash shall in no wise pass from the law till all shall be brought to bear. In other words, the Most High sent Messiah to reveal the light of what is to be. And if the rulers in any way see, taught the people not to understand that eventuality, they are the children of darkness and not light. I repeat, they're the children of darkness and not light. He says, whoever therefore shall break, or how about cause men not to perceive the truth, or the continual essence of what is these, as what is these in the seeming, least of these commandments, and shall teach men so. In other words, teach men to deny these things as if they were no more. Or teach men to compromise these things as if they're not to be taken in the fullness of the context. Therefore, causing men to be foolish, my brothers and sisters, believing beguilements. Think about it. At 45,000 denominations in the world and counting, teaching a whole lot of this word after a compromised, faulty foundation and misperspective. Shall the Most High be pleased with this? Notice what he says to anyone who therefore, even though he says the gospel, as you go forth and you teach all things after the Spirit that teaches all things, therefore to expose the folly among the nations, the men might seek to be baptized of all misconceit. Oh, yes. The men seek him who teaches all things that they no longer trust in those who hide the truth. He said, whoever therefore shall break, cause men to renounce, to deny, even one of the least of these commandments, and should teach men so, he should be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever shall do and teach them, the same should be called great in the kingdom of the Most High. For I say to you, then accept your righteousness, your discernment of what is divine will and pleasure.
Hmm.
According to all that is contained in the law and the prophets, according to how all these words work together for one good. If you accept your sense of righteousness and your discerning of all these things as divine eventuality and eternal, my brothers and sisters, mandate, eternal, man, my brothers and sisters, mandates. Except your righteousness, your expectation and faith in Yah should exceed the unrighteousness of a multitude of your leaders, all teaching something different. And quite frankly, in a whole lot of ways, denying a tremendous amount of truth that no one is made whole. Except your righteousness exceeds that of your leaders who compromise, treacherously compromise this word. Read Isaiah 24:10 through 16. He says, you shall in no case, I said in no case, enter the kingdom of Yah. He says, the blind, they both fall in the pit. If a foolish man leads another man, my brother and sister, they both should be counted then fools. He said, you've heard it said within of old time, you shall not kill. Really means you should not murder. And whoever shall murder unjustly bring about the end of a life shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry, even angry against his brother, without a cause. In other words, oftentimes without a just cause. There are times that men indeed, my brothers and sisters, are flared with anger one against another. But let it always be, my brothers and sisters, that the ultimate cause of that anger be a sense of divine righteousness that is under a righteous indignation that will seek that none be found foolish. Did you hear me? For lest the Most High curbs his anger, there's not a single soul among us that attains to what is wise. Therefore, being certain of this, let us always consider, my brothers and sisters, that rather than always being so quick to want to see your enemies condemned, pray that your enemies become wise. Because if they become wise, and you too are wise, then you could only then be friends. He said, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever is angry against his brother, and his purpose then is not for the greater good, desires that every soul retain a sense of what is wise once the truth is given. Such a one would be in danger of the judgment. Remember, an adversary desires that a man, once he turns away from wisdom, never to ever become wise. Once a man falls into a trap that remains in the trap forever, Most High has promised in his love and his faithfulness that though man has fallen into great snares of illusion, the Most High has promised a time when a generation shall awaken again to the truth, that men, my brothers and sisters, that mankind shall, in knowing the will of Yah, cease to be foolish, but shall become wise. And it says, I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raka, in other words, seeks to make him worthless. Did you hear me? Think about it. Whoever seeks to nullify any man from his purpose in Yah, a mind, a heart, soul is a terrible thing to waste. Whoever, my brothers and sisters, seeks to nullify man's purpose as a light and a vessel of constant truth unto the Most High. Whoever seeks to cause a man rather than being a purging and purifying preserver of that which is good. He said you ought to be the salt of the earth. Whoever would seek to pollute the truth, that men no longer discern the difference, brothers and sisters, that is the one who seeks to make fools of men. And the scripture says that whoever does this, I pray that you will hear me, shall be in danger of hell fire. Where else do devils, deviates, those who preserve deviation, who love to tell lies, go? You need to consider Revelation 22 and see what it says about that. So the scriptures here are not saying that you don't call out folly. Let me tell you something. The apostle Jeremiah, well, let me say the prophet Jeremiah, who said, "Woe unto me, for the Most High has borne me a rebuker of the whole earth." Meaning that what's written in was written concerning Jeremiah's time was always true, also true, even unto the time of the writer of Revelation, the book of Revelation, Yohanan on the Isle of Patmos. 12:9 said that Satan deceived the whole world, caused the whole world to see less than what is divine glory then. Think about it. It says, "All eyes shall see the glory." That means men shall finally see the truth they had not willed to see, seeking to preserve, as if it were wise, so much of men's foolishness, contentiousness. If you look at the scriptures and you examine them closely in Isaiah 40, it says your warfare, your contentions, your, let's just talk about the multi, your misopinions. Your shallow sense of judgment must come to an end because the king is coming. And my brothers and sisters, again, the scripture says he will judge mankind according to all things the Most High has declared. He will even come forth saying, "Listen to me, O isles, keep silence for me, O you nations, that my people renew their strength." In other words, shut up with all the lies, as people might see the truth. Let them come together for judgment. Beyond this deceitful matrix we live in, my brothers and sisters, that will never tell you the whole truth. And finding men upon faulty foundation will just give them another half-truth. They remain in the snares exploited, and so often never come out. Such is the nature of a liar. But my brothers and sisters, the scripture says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And he said the truth will set you free. That is the truth will set you free from those who exploit you by hiding the truth from you. He said if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. His testimony is not of this world, not blinded by it, not polluted by it. And the fact of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, he said, unless you believe that he is the one who teaches the truth, that will set you free. Because being subject to anyone who would leave you subject to a lesser conscience, that is tribulation, that is damnation, that is death. He said, unless you believe that he is the one who brings forth this liberated testimony. He said, you would die in your sins. How about dying, my brothers and sisters, under those who don't consider all the Most High has declared? Again, he told me that the greatest wisdom is not what men think they know, what they don't know, what they think they know, not giving all things consideration. That Yah said is not wisdom at all. In fact, it is folly. It is foolishness. It is deception. It is not perception, my brothers and sisters. It is an illusion and not vision. Is it not time, my brothers and sisters, we understand then what I have written, that the day of judgment and the day of salvation are indeed one and the same? For the day of absolution, my brothers and sisters, will bring discretion that the world had not had and desperately need, that men no longer be subject to the deceivers. Who will understand in this time? As I said before, all the prophecies say the Messiah comes to offer this world the hand of peace. Because quite frankly, when the scripture says in Isaiah 59, "I beheld there was no intercessor, men transgressing and lying against the Most High. Yea, truth is hid, understanding is parted from the mind." It means man has fallen away from covenant because he's fallen away from faith in Yah and the purity of his word, and has trusted in a multitude of compromises and not discerned wherein he has fallen short. Not discerning wherein his perceptions are still quite in so many ways polluted. So the scripture says the Most High was not pleased, so his own arm brought salvation, his trusted one brought salvation to him. How about came to redeem the holy name? I want you to hear me. In that men have used the name of the Most High to exalt every manner of illusion imaginable. Men have called upon the holy name, but only to be snared by the abusers. That's why the apostle Saul said, "I know nothing which I'm guilty, but I might not be right in this. My judge is the Most High. There's a reason why he said, or he quoted the scripture at Joel 2:32. It says, in the last days, all who call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered. But that scripture says, and in Jerusalem shall be delivered to the women whom the Most High has called. Most High, who the Most High calls, he also teaches. So the scriptures are actually saying then, and I pray you will hear me, I pray the Most High will grant your heart to understand. And when the apostles said, how can they call upon him whom they have not heard? And he says, faith comes by hearing by the, faith comes by hearing him by the word of Yah, because not all have preached or heard to preach the gospel. It means, my brothers and sisters, that saving faith unto that kingdom, which the Most High himself has declared beyond the compromises and the massive disagreements and the base imbalances in this world, that the attainment of that kingdom requires that men must transcend the unrighteousness of all their leaders, unless all are subject to unrighteousness. And believe, my brothers and sisters, perpetual unrighteousness is not the reason why Messiah gave his life. The Most High certainly deserves far more. He says he sends the Spirit to teach all things, no lie in it, to rebuke all sin, that men turning away from transgression might be saved. Read Isaiah 59:19-21. Romans 11:25-27. Read it. He says a Savior comes to Zion for those who would turn away from transgression. He did not say those who remain subject to the short-sighted perspectives of those who would not consider all things. We need to understand what that scripture is talking about, my brothers and sisters. Because it says that again, at the time Messiah appears, the whole world is falling short. It has not discerned that pure, perfect word. So he says, they who wait for him shall renew their strength. Those who believe they are already delivered after the prideful and flattering institutions of man. All my brothers and sisters, they should be greatly ashamed. Say, who exalts himself should be ashamed, but he who humbles himself should be exalted. So understand, many who believe that because of the abundance of tithes and offerings they pay in the church, their tribute that they have given to state, those who believe, my brothers and sisters, they enter the kingdom of Yah because they have loved altered allegiances, flattering men to believe they are wise and the truth of the matter. The scripture says none of these standpoints is the gospel. Like I said, they just said the preach was necessary to preserve their pulpits. Kings do it, it was necessary, they say, to preserve their, if you will, rulership, presidency, throne. But none of these are the gospel, my brothers and sisters. None of this is the rule of the king who will sit upon the throne that the Most High establishes upon this earth from on high. And the scripture says that the Most High looked and he saw every man, if you will, interceding according to his own desires, and he was not pleased. Till the name of the Most High, the truth of his will, becomes more important to you than even your own soul, we have no chance of deliverance, because it means you will always hold to some illusion that's more important. Isn't it time we understand, my brothers and sisters, because I can see a lot of people saying, ooh, that seems so unfair. Somebody's going to come around and like, and they, I've even had people tell me, that's not of the Holy Spirit that you rebuke another man's doctrine. I've had people tell me that. My brothers and sisters, there is only one doctrine to be spoken. And the Most High. And did you not hear that the gospel and that truth declares that men consider all the Most High declares? Anything less is not a word. Any word, my brothers and sisters, with an intent to deny his word is not a word or a thought from him. But I've had pastors tell me things like, hey, we don't talk about that scripture in their church. Who are they praising in their church, my brothers and sisters? Is it light or is it darkness? We just got through talking a little bit about Matthew 5th chapter. Remember what's in Matthew 7 when it says that that everyone who cries out, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of Yah, but he who does the will of the Father I want you to hear, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says Messiah will come to perform all that is divine pleasure. And how shall even he discern the will of the Father, as the Father reveal himself? Scripture says in Isaiah 50, we come forth saying, morning by morning has the Most High caused his ears to hear the teaching, and he's not turned back the rebellious way, that he should know how to declare a word to the weary. That's someone walking around in the midst of the people. Isaiah 48 says, who is there among you who can declare these things? The men have sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. Isaiah 50, like I said, says, come forth saying, morning by morning, the Most High causes ear to hear the teaching. Zephaniah says, in the midst of a wicked and confused city, and the wicked know no shame. Morning by morning, he brings justice to light. But those who have never heard the story, never truly heard the gospel, he said, would know no shame. Treacherous leaders, my brothers and sisters, have misguided the people so much so that many have never understood what's written. To be Luke 17, 26 through 18 and 8 closely. Why it's written that Messiah, when he comes, will say, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Those prophecies, my brothers and sisters, they translate some things in the midst of them improperly. If Noah was never to be translated, it should never have been translated. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Yah, is within you. They were acting as if there would never be a kingdom of Yah established upon earth. And yes, the kingdom of Yah is to be established within a man's heart. Yah must write his laws upon the minds and hearts. But that scripture, in that case, they're asking what will be the sign of Messiah's coming. And he was actually telling them that the king was right there in the midst of them at that moment. Does not come by easy observation. Everybody seeing him does not discern who he is. And that sounds so much like so much other prophecy. Indeed it does. But who's willing to consider? They put down there, my brothers and sisters, that as it was in the days of Lot and Noah, sure should be the days of the Son of Man. Yes, homosexuality was rampant. But those prophecies are talking about something much more powerful than just wiping out homosexuality or homosexual tendencies. Those scriptures, my brothers and sisters, said, just like it was in the days of Lot and Noah, so shall be the days of the Son of Man. And it says that they will continue to do what they did until the flood came and took them all away under Noah. Noah warned the world, the known world. Lot warned the city. It says fire came down and rained to destroy them all. Lot warned the city. And my brother and sister Zephaniah in the third chapter speaks about first warning a city that is confused after all the lies of the world to tell the whole world confusion is over. Revelation 6:12 reflects the same, talks about a great earthquake at a city. That's what it's really talking about. And it said the king will suddenly be running for cover, hiding from the face of the Lamb, and him will sit upon the throne. For the day of his wrath is coming, who shall be able to stand? The leaders have spoken treacherously, and the people have believed them. Who will be able to stand, my brothers and sisters, but those who need to look for him? A return to faith, my brothers and sisters, beyond all the diverse standards of men, but under the will of one. He said, watch out, if you really understand it in Galatians. He said, the promise is not after a multitude of diverse doctrines, or seeds, or descendancies. But the faith, my brothers and sisters, is after the will of one. Because your mediators don't always administer perfectly after the will of one, but Yah sends Messiah to declare that Yah is one. You said, now that faith has come, or how about faith returned, been revealed, the pure, perfect will of one, that all that are the Lord Shabbat, Lord of armies, believe, that pure, perfect truth, that is believed on high, has been revealed, or will be revealed, again revealed. That must be the expectation of Saul. That pure, perfect word, my brothers and sisters. Like I said before, you need to consider no disagreement, no double-mindedness, no compromise, the gospel. So what is it, my brothers and sisters? What manner of word is this that men have believed? Spoken so many contentions. When the Son of Man returns, he said, will he find faith in the earth? But he finds faith in earth, and the men here are consummate word that proves foolish what men are called wise and after hasty conclusions. Will he find faith in the earth? Or will men only be able to sit back and say, this is what I've heard from this guy, and this is what I've heard from that one, and I put it all together, even though half of it is trash, will men simply say that the hasty conclusions were still yet wise, even though the Most High will be able to take every misconceit and lie that men have spoken and pick it all the parts to show us how foolish it is. What will man do, my brother and sister? Believe the truth? To walk after the truth? To obey the truth? Or will he instead, my brothers and sisters, uphold whatever seems wise according to a worldly status quo? Which one will man do? I've been saying this again and again, that Messiah come, my brothers and sisters, to a world gone completely astray, that those who believe in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Yah so loved the world 2,000 years ago that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him might not perish. It is just as true, my brothers and sisters, according to all that is prophesied concerning Messiah in these latter days. Because, quite frankly, many who have, instead of believing the truth, have been beguiled to want to uphold any one of some thousands and thousands of denominations and nations. Anyone who have wanted to uphold those illusions, blockers in their minds, keep them from discerning the Savior. And my brothers and sisters, it's not those who do not believe him and who argue against him that will find salvation, but those counted worthy to believe. And those counted worthy to believe, my brothers and sisters, are those who don't so quickly just argue when they hear something that is strange to their minds. They seek in some way, if it's all possible. If the word that they have heard is untrue, they don't just simply react against who spoke the anomaly. But they seek for the good of all. They may discern the greater truth, that they might reason together, that all might be delivered, and none any more affected by the illusion. That's love. But my brothers and sisters, just to argue for the sheer sake of arguing, or to argue for the sheer sake of just simply exalting your predispositions, or I would tell a whole lot of pastors to argue against the truth simply because they have lied in their the trust factor upon which they built their congregations as a state. For them to deny the truth just to uphold themselves, my brothers and sisters, that's the wiles of the devil. That's a demon's work at hand. I can't tell you how many times I've walked in and spoken to pastors having some 50 reasons why, throughout scripture, why a certain statement is true. And some of them have admitted that these statements are true, but they said that you among the congregation wouldn't get that. So they give you what you wanted, not what you needed. And they say if you're willing to buy the lie, they will sell it. And let me tell you something. Need to really plan. Sometimes when I get an opportunity to do that again, I need to keep that conversation. Because it's amazing me how many times I've heard the same thing. I had some pastors one time tell me, don't you know for us, they said, that they're just learning a profession. Sound like to me the same evil spirit is functioning in a whole lot of pastors. Messiah will come forth one day to end this confusion, saying, listen to me, O isles, hark to me, O you nations. The Most High has called me from afar and from the womb, from the body of my mother, womb of my mother, has he made mention of my name. How many will understand, my brothers and sisters, that's that anointed man? The scriptures talk about it in Isaiah 42. It says, behold, my servant, my elect, my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, what is just, equanimity to all the nations. There will be contentions after their various borders. He will dry out the rivers by showing the world, indeed, my brothers and sisters, the folly of the nation and the exceeding righteousness of Yah. He will dry up the rivers, my brothers and sisters, the boundaries of all the nations, and that he will slay, expose, call out the wicked, call out every foolish standard, that unto him shall all the nations seek, that his rest should be glorious. He shall reveal the truth, my brothers and sisters, that a whole world has chosen to ignore, not being wise enough to know that such truth should never have been anything else but beloved. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, no question about it. Most I say he's indeed going to physically dry up the rivers. And those of you who know the truth, hey, one of the biggest, most powerful flowing rivers of the East was the Euphrates. And go back and look sometimes and check out what's happening with the Euphrates as we speak. What was one time miles across of flowing water is just a trickle. And in some places there is now no water at all. The scriptures talk about the drying up of the river Euphrates before that gathering of kings that should expose the truth, the true king from all the falsehood and the lying prophets that have cursed a world. Trust in lies and not Yah. Scriptures, as I said before, my brothers and sisters, relate that man has sworn by the name of the Most High, not in truth nor in righteousness, and there was never an atonement. Read Isaiah 48. So Messiah will have to come to declare the word that is from the beginning. Messiah will have to come for a moment to defer the anger of the Most High, saying, "Hurt not the earth, the sea, nor the trees, till we seal the servants of Yah upon their brows." He will have to write and explain again the law of the Most High upon the minds and hearts of the people, that they be the people of Yah. What this means again, my brothers and sisters, he said, "I beheld there was no intercessor," meaning there was no priest, no one upholding a sufficient dimension of truth, upholding the full arm of Yah, whereby the Most High might see the hope of an atonement. So he sent a priest. When he said as a priest for after the order of Melchizedek, and he said that that priest declared an eternal standard to cut off the heads of many rulers on earth, expose the unrighteousness of many. Because the only hope, my brothers and sisters, for atoning peace is that those who have spoken lies be silenced. That those who misrepresent the Most High be exposed and humiliated in their shame. Read Psalm 110 and understand what it's talking about. Messiah comes, my brothers and sisters, not to sanction the magnitude and multitude of lies that have been taught, but to magnify the law of the Most High unto a state that the Most High called honorable, pleasing to him in all things, fully restored, and cause anything else the work of foolish servants, foolish pastors, priests, who will keep the people hid and blocked in prison houses where the truth is not known. If he has to call his people from the midst of all the nations, because the nations themselves are confused, who understand in this time? I repeat, my brothers and sisters, please understand. If what is errant is not rebuked and reproved, how shall any man, my brothers and sisters, already indiscriminate, discern his way to be true unto Yah? Yah, his very name is discerning. He says he is the great I am that I am. And if men don't know what that means, it means they must humble themselves and receive instruction from him. But who should discern those whom he has instructed? And who will discern the appointed, anointed one, whom Yah has appointed, that all those who have been diligent might discern that it is he, that they indeed, my brothers and sisters, will say one day concerning him, "Lo, this is the Holy One, the Righteous One, for whom we have waited. We rejoice and be glad in his salvation. We will wipe away all tears from off all eyes. We will cast aside the veil and the covering that's been over all the nations. And more up, whatever institution of man has sought to impede his people from the promised land, he will utterly trod it down. Who will understand what's written in Isaiah 25, relative to Revelation 16, 12 to 21, Revelation 6, 12 through 7, 17, and that ultimately relates about the regathering of his people. Hey, my brothers and sisters, the people are not regathered. They're not saved. They're not one heart till they, wherever they've been scattered, see beyond all the illusions of all those who have kept them under misillusions. That the Most High said he would expose all false rule is his promise. But who will hearken, my brothers and sisters, the one he sends to do it? Read Isaiah 29, my brothers and sisters. Scripture talks about how men have sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. In Isaiah 48, it says the same thing. In Isaiah 29, in the same way, it says men's worship has been learned by rote. Blind leading the blind, my brothers and sisters, Matthew 15:6-9, is got its word from Isaiah 29, saying that the word of the Bible, or per se, or the book is given to those who are supposed to learn, and he said, I cannot read it for a seal. Yes, it's sealed to him if you want to see what you want to see, and rather than asking him what you need to see. So the book is given one who is supposed to learn, and he cannot discern it because it's sealed. But it's given one who has not learned it. He can't discern it either. Because he has not learned it. Blind lead the blind, my brothers and sisters, both fall into the pit. I did not say either one finds salvation. And the Most High did not say that men will gain revelation through choosing to believe whatever they will. Saved by grace through faith means made whole in the will of Yah because you believe what the Most High began to tell you. He said, if you love me, keep, preserve, maintain, defend, he said, my commandments. Remember his instruction. Follow his instruction. He will lead you further down the path. My brothers and sisters, some never fully find the path nor walk it because they couldn't get past that very first command saying you should have no other false god. In other words, you should have no false god per se. In other words, you have no other gods instead but him. It means that you must seek him for the fullness of all that is his will. Everything else, let me go ahead and explain this word. I wanted to get at that. He says you should have no other god but him. There is no other. Everything else is false, fallen, a fallacy, foolish. Look at that F-L keep on reappearing over and over again. He didn't want his people to see, my brothers and sisters. He wanted his people made wise. He said, go forth and teach all nations everything he commanded, that people be wise, considerate of all things he has spoken. That they might be indeed in baptism, purged from trust and those who deceive. That men might indeed discern the pure, perfect word from the beginning, that is the word that is the gospel of his kingdom. That they be not subject to the false rudiments of the kingdom of this world. Who will understand, my brothers and sisters, the real meaning of all these things? But those, my brothers and sisters, who are truly of a reasonable mind, who exercise their senses to discern better, who are not so predisposed to simply say, oh, I read the Bible, so I want to know what this means, that means, the other means, but who is willing to say, Father, I don't know what I don't know, don't know what I need to know, don't know what something is stuck in my head that it prevents me from understanding, but Father, you know. Unless you tell me, I won't know. The people who are willing to say, Father, guide me through the words of your prophets. I don't run the class, but I'm willing to be a good student. Who are they, my brothers and sisters, who are discerning this? And the need to ask the Most High, what is it in which you lack? That you might understand it, because quite frankly, they are very pivotal truth. Most High told me this very early on. He said some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truths. I repeat, he said some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truths. And I dare to tell you, my brothers and sisters, across the board, from those who are polytheist Western Christian, the Easter Christmas Sunday crowd,
And I've seen also my brothers and sisters in the Sabbath, Passover, new moons, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, Yom Teruah crowd as well. A whole lot of prophecy, my brothers and sisters, they will not speak. So the question I ask, my brothers and sisters, unto whom will Yah be pleased? For those who discern, that they simply know what is said and not know why it is said, having intimate knowledge of the instructor and the king, who is master, is still yet to err, still yet to be left to debate and doubt. And as I said, my brothers and sisters, there's no debate, doubt, and hypocritical compromise in the gospel. Blessed they will understand this, will not be hasty in their judgment, but will seek to consider all things, that there indeed be justice. What scripture says, men will say one day, behold, my servant, my liquid, my soul delights, I put my spirit upon it. Hey, this is the one whom appeases the Most High. He says, the isle shall wait for his law, his righteousness revealed. And he will bring forth indeed what is equity, justice, righteousness in the earth. Who will understand it in his time? I repeat, the scriptures don't relate that Messiah comes to rapture or regather people already made righteous in all things. But he comes, my brothers and sisters, to reveal righteousness to those who have been wearied after the misconceits of the nations. Look at Jeremiah 30:10-11. Our 30th chapter, 31st chapter. He has restored, renewed a sense of what is his covenant to the minds of his people after they've been scattered among the nations, that they be his people. By no means, my brothers and sisters, does that mean that what you've learned among the nations has been wise. It simply means what all you've learned among the nation must be overcome and transcended. What did he say in Jacob, first chapter? He said, if you're scattered among the nation, among the multitude of provocation of fallen standards, know that your perseverance and your faith still have to bring forth a perfect work, even though all around you there be no wisdom. So you need to ask now. For the double-minded man who believes, tentatively or falsely, because he has not heard from Yah, is still an unstable man in all his ways. Believe me, there's a big difference between a man telling you something and Yah telling you directly. And Messiah himself said that when he said, when he said to his disciples, he said, there's many things I long to tell you, but you cannot receive, grasp. How about fathom fully them yet? You cannot bear them now, it said in the King James Version. He said to the comfort of the Holy Spirit has come. So you won't comprehend them to you after the gift of the Holy Spirit are compelled. And if you are wise, and diligent, compelled to consider all things, realize that everything the Most High says has reason. He says, there are many things that he could say that you might not bear them or understand them at first. In other words, I had to call somebody and tell someone point blank the other day that their perception was foolish. I told him about something that contained in Scripture, and he basically told me because he didn't either believe it there or had not seen it there or had not heard it from his pastor, he believed that it simply could not possibly be there. I said, man, that is extremely foolish. Wanted to argue the guy I wanted to do. When it was shown to him in the scripture, not just he, but a few other of his buddies, he said nothing. He just said, simply left. My brothers and sisters, what if I had said nothing and not pushed the issue that it's necessary to see these things? Would anybody have an opportunity to see them? He said the light has to shine. The salt is supposed to preserve the good. It's not to be polluted tainted and compromised after the designs of another. If there be anger, my brothers and sisters, let it be righteous indignation. Righteous indignation, the desires that none be damned. In other words, Messiah would reiterate the scripture that's in Ezekiel. He said, I do not desire the death of the wicked, but that he should turn from his evil way and live. For it's already foreordained, the wicked shall perish. The soul that sinned shall die. But when the scriptures talk about righteous Lot, remember righteous Lot, who was vexed every day by what he saw, was also willing to warn Sodom and Gomorrah for all the injustice that Sodom and Gomorrah had formed against him. He was still, if they were willing to speak, that the people might hear. I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. Please understand me. Blessed are the souls who are sacrificing themselves for the good of others. Blessed are the peacemakers. Like I said, righteous Lot, his righteous soul, was vexed every day. But he would have rejoiced if even a single one of those among the wicked would have changed to receive truly the word of Yah. Or would you say it's better that if the Most High grants someone passes the sea, that it is better that they never see? Who is man, my brothers and sisters? Who is man to argue against the purpose of Yah? Because quite frankly, it's going to be found out one day very soon that since the whole world has fallen short of the glory, that man just simply needs to get off his high horse and stop arguing every man against one another and realizing that the Most High will only accept one offering, and that is humility before the truth. That is simply everyone's duty who he calls to seek that the world be changed. That those who were enemies, having an opportunity to hear the truth, might rationalize and change. But if men will not seek the truth, that possibility and reason be offered, who is any man? Who is any man, my brothers and sisters, to call himself righteous at all, or wise at all, or having the purpose of Yah at all? Messiah comes to offer the hand of peace, and that the Most High has already told you what he said he would do. That he would raise up a man in righteousness who would rebuild his city, his government, his kingdom on this earth. He would raise up a man in righteousness to show the world again what righteousness and the truth of the gospel really is. How many people prefer not to hear this? Because the only ones who will hear and understand it are those who understand that the whole world has been damned, souls lost for many generations. The ones who understand that, how long men have fallen short of the mark. White Horse Rider, Revelation 6, being Messiah. Red Horse Rider, the nation retaliating against the truth, murdering millions, my brothers and sisters, that they silence those who understood the gospel. Black Horse Rider, famine for a word. Amos 8, 11 to 12 says there'll be a time the men will go to and fro all the lands, seeing land, looking for a word of truth and can't find it. Famine for a word. A famine for hearing the word, the pure, perfect word of Yah. It happened long ago, my brothers and sisters. Didn't say those murderous times would end with the coming of Messiah, or at least the blatant type of murder that was going on then, at the rate of hundreds at a time. It said those times would end, seemingly end, with the rise of false prophets, a false church, calling it legal for men to call upon the name of Messiah, but not under his righteousness, but under the pluralities of a pagan Roman state. This is what is really written, if you understand it well. Who will understand, though, my brothers and sisters, that Messiah comes in the last days after the world has fallen from the truth? That pale heart, death and hell, that's a world without a word. Messiah comes to restore it. Read Isaiah 59. Read Isaiah 41 through 42. Messiah comes to restore it. He will offer peace. But my brothers and sisters, peace demands that men be willing to see all things the Most High has spoken. Because the word for peace and the word for perfection and completion are the same. There won't be a confirmation of any man's mind and heart, lest it be proven that there's a diligence in his heart for all Yah has spoken. He's not going to confirm part of the contract. He's not going to confirm a contract. The contract has already been written up and signed. Somebody brings it to him and they tell part of it. That's not the contract. Somebody writes a lot more on it that wasn't there before. Outside of the context of what was initially declared, outside of the context of what was declared from the beginning, outside the context of discerning that what the Most High declared from the beginning is indeed eternal. He has not changed his standard. Therefore, man's efforts to change the contract is inviable. Many will not understand this, my brothers and sisters, will not understand the words that I'm speaking to you now. The Most High told me they are very precious. They are only for the most humble soul. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, Menedim Yah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. And I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings in. I constantly pray, my brothers and sisters, for the hearts and souls of men to understand. Because the heart that is prideful will not. But there's a reason why he said the Spirit of Yah is upon me. I will say again, the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek. What did I say about the rule of the rulers? They flatter people to become prideful and nothing. It's vanity. And he said he's going to count whole nations as if they were nothing. And the day that he reveals his king, he will count what men are called wise across an entire world to be foolish. And he will come that the Most High declares one king. And the scripture says through him, so that every man know Yah. Let me know from the rising sun to the west, there's none else but him. It says, unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Read Isaiah 45 and 46 and find out who those scriptures said. And that one is. Messiah said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. If they haven't taught you about the Son of Man, who will reprove all the rulers, kings, and priests of the world, that men come to the will of one, they haven't preached to you the gospel. If they didn't tell you who that one is that's called the written offspring of David, the one who opens and no man shuts and shuts and no man opens, who decides who does and does not enter the kingdom.
90 seconds.
The one who vouchsafes the security of the kingdom of Yahweh established upon this earth, who sits upon the throne. If they haven't told you who he is, that will establish righteousness, it says in Jeremiah 23rd chapter, because the shepherds have dealt very treacherously and have not fed the flocks. They don't tell you who that written offspring of David is, my brothers and sisters, who will be established as a righteous king where there's been shaky ones in the place.
They didn't tell you who that one
who bore the title Morning Star is, the Son of Righteousness that arises, the King of the East, one whose word they put down branch in 3 and 8. And 3:18, Zechariah put down branch, also whose title was Sunrise. Zechariah, post-exilic prophet, after the reign of that one they call Cyrus the Great, whose kingdom was called Kurdistan, telling you his name was not Cyrus. They haven't told you about all those things, my brothers and sisters. They had never preached to you the gospel. And Messiah would say to those who didn't have these foundations, understanding what he means when he says he is the written offspring of David and the bright morning star. Those not remembering that benediction that's at the end of each covenant, saying this is what is to be remembered in all the churches. Those who don't have it, scripture says, fall away from faith. I'll tell you about this, my brothers and sisters, they didn't preach to you the gospel. To us again, this has been Enemy of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, to his praise, might always, and on always, hallelujah! And I thank you all again for this.
You got the